Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Thursday, September 19th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 4, page 55, in We Agnostics, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with, "We finally saw that faith in some kind of God," and we'll be reading this one paragraph only, and it ends with, "It was so with us." We will be commenting on this one paragraph. Today's readers are Cindy K. for the 12 Steps, Ann P. for the 12 Traditions, and you know what? I haven't heard from Ann P., so Kathleen O., if you could please step in, that would be awesome. So our readers of our text this morning are Leslie W., Dion R., and Kathleen O. Our newcomer greeter today is Mary H. and Reggie O. for our announcements this morning. The share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, September 18th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,412. That's 13412. And the share ID for our Thursday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting this morning, September 19, 2019, is 13,420. That's 13420. The OA Preemblem, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for our members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Cindy K. to read our 12 steps of OA. Cindy?
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you very much. Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Cindy K., for reading our OA 12 steps. And now Kathleen O. will read our 12 traditions. Kathleen?
Good morning. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
And thank you, Kathleen O, for being of service this morning. Thank you for stepping in. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that does include your mute button. Please don't use your mute button, use star 1, because that way we have a more quieter meeting. Thanks for that. We appreciate that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 55, and we're in We Agnostics. And we're going to be reading the third paragraph this morning, and this one paragraph only. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God, and it ends with, it was so with us. And so, would Leslie W. please get us started reading?
Hey, Sherry. Thanks, Sherry. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. Okay, so what this paragraph is telling me is that it's going to take some digging. The search for the great reality or God, whatever you call whatever relationship you have with your higher power, for me, it has been a journey. And it is not easy for me to, maybe it is for some people, but it is not easy for me to connect to my higher power sometimes. I get distracted. I have a million things to do, a million things going on, kids to take care of, a husband who wants my attention, church, you know, civic responsibilities, all these different things that kind of tend to pull me away from having that spirit, from being at one with that spirit. But if I just look a little bit, it takes some digging. But if I just try, if I just put forth an effort, all that it's asking here for me to do is to put forth a little bit of effort. And I'm willing to do that because I don't want to live like I lived before. I don't want to be so disconnected from my body and from my mind that I am trying to kill. I'm literally slowly trying to kill myself because I hate myself that much. I had so much self-loathing and so much hatred and anger towards myself, towards God, towards other people around me. And it was buried so down deep inside of me. There's a lot of things that I don't understand, you know. There's a lot of things that I don't understand about God. God is a mystery to me. His ways are a mystery to me. But what I do know is that I cannot stay abstinent without his help. I cannot live the kind of life that he would have me to live on my own power. I must continue the search to find God. I don't know if that's the right word, but to connect with him and to feel his loving presence and know that he cares for me. And it's a continual thing. It never stops. It never stops. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Leslie W., for getting us started. All right. So just reminding everybody, we're on page 55. We're in chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're going to read the third paragraph today. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God. We're going to read that one paragraph only. It was so with us. And who would like to share this morning?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Cindy D.
Cindy B.
Dion R.
Melanie C.
Dion R.
Melanie C.
I got you, Melanie.
And Janice PM.
And I got you, Janice.
Thank you, Cindy.
And I have one more.
Who Kathleen else? O.
Kathleen O. Okay, we got a great lineup this morning. All right. All right, so let me tell you who I have. Donna B., Cindy D., Dion R., Melanie C., Janice PM, and Kathleen O. And if I didn't get you, we've got another round after this. We'll take more names after Kathleen O. So Donna B., please get us started.
Thank you. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Thank you so much for the service this morning. And God, this paragraph is just such perfect timing. Last night, I got a text message from an old friend of mine, and he attached a photograph of he and I together in 1994. I was 19 years old, and I was obese. I weighed at least 50 to 60 pounds more than what I weigh today, and I forgot about that part of me. I tell my story in meetings, but often the story is, I came into the rooms in 2001, and I really focused on sharing experience, strength, and hope, and I have severed off parts of my past that are especially painful, that especially exhibit the self-hatred and self-loathing that I had for myself. If the great reality, with a capital G and a capital R, is deep down inside of me, there's no way that I'll be able to connect with that great power if I keep it underneath layers of denial. I've been through this step so many times, and I've done so many 10 steps, and I've been thorough, and I've been honest, and yet more is constantly revealed to me. One of the common symptoms of PTSD, of being an adult child, is I can tell stories about my past in a very non-effective, monotone kind of way. Like, it's the story. And I forget to feel and to place myself within that story. And as I'm processing the photo that I received yesterday and all the accompanying feelings, I feel that my higher power is telling me, not only can I look back at my past, but I can connect with the person who I was at that time and offer her compassion and kindness and love. On the one hand, I'm dreading that journey, and on the other, I'm hopeful that I will find that capital G, capital R, great reality deep inside of me, underneath all of that muck. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. Cindy D., you're up, followed by Dion R. Cindy, good morning.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas, and I'm really glad to be here today. I haven't been able to be at the meetings for a few days, and I just, for me, I feel replenished when I come to meetings, and especially when we're talking about the subject of our higher power, because I truly believe that it's our higher power that brought us all here, that gave us this beautiful, you know, book and the 12 steps. And, you know, the sentence, we found the great reality deep down within us. And, you know, I've read this so many times, and I do believe it. I do believe that my higher power lives inside me, in the true part of myself, that innocent and pure part of myself. And yet I still find myself at times looking for it outside of myself. And this morning, in the earlier meeting, I caught a little bit of it, and it was shared that faith is an action step. And I, you know, have to agree with that for me. I have to actively work to stay in touch with my higher power because, you know, life gets in the way. I get in the way. I let others get in the way. And so I have to bring myself back. And I'm so grateful for this program. I mean, I've changed in so many ways. And I recently started therapy, and my therapist had me do this questionnaire on finding my strengths. And when I got the results, what was interesting to me was that gratitude came up in my top five. And I can honestly say that that would not have been true a year and a half ago before I started this program. I wasn't a grateful person. I didn't feel the sense of the higher power in my life. I'd always believed in God, but didn't feel like he was with me. I felt like I had been left on the side of the road, so to speak. And now to know that, you know, for me, a strength is gratitude, I'm like, wow, that is definitely something that, you know, my higher power has done for me, because that was not in me before. And I'm grateful to be grateful. It sounds kind of funny, but I really am. And I'm grateful for the journey that lies ahead of me to still learn more about that true part of myself and to become more of the person that my higher power wants me to be and that this program helps me to be. So with that, I'm going to pass and just wish everybody a really blessed day. Thanks, Sherry.
And thank you, Cindy D. And Dion R., you're up, followed by Melanie C. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Sherry. Hi, good morning, all. This is Dion R. Excuse me, recovered compulsive overeater, and very grateful this morning. Just from what I heard so far, it's just beautiful, and reading this reminded me that when they said deep down, I was just looking at a picture that I was doing some computer work this morning, which I don't usually do. But anyway, I saw a picture of me and the healing part for what you guys gave me in the great reality of my higher power is looking at these old pictures. I can see I had this big, pretty smile all the time. But deep down inside, I was feeling horrible, you know, because I felt the great reality that I was a horrible person. But thanks to you guys and my higher power, you guys introduced me to my higher power, anybody in the spiritual program, as well as my biological family and ancestors, you know, I just was stubborn. But anyway, just looking at the picture and see my dad and all my my children around and me, and I'm like, wow, I had that fake smile. But, you know, because of my willingness to do something, like I heard someone say, the action word, do something, I was able to move through that. Those walls of fat and hate and shame and disgust and judgmental and yada, 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 all those things on page 52. You know, I was able to move through it, and it was only because you guys said just keep moving through. Don't pick up and keep moving through the steps, you know, because I was stuck for years on my feelings. I just wanted to let everybody know I've been victimized, and it worked for me. I needed that. Don't get me wrong. I needed that. But today, looking at that picture where before I would turn, like, oh, look how fast she, and the pain I see in my eyes, if that makes sense. But today, to look at it like, wow, even though you were going through all that, Dion, you still kept pushing through. I couldn't have saw that. That's the real reality to me. I was a good person then. Just dealing with pain a different way, you know, and people, we deal with it differently. I mean, anyway, I know I do most compulsive overeaters, so I'm just grateful, so grateful today I can look back and see where I come from, not with shame or despise, but with gratitude and let the light shine so someone else can get it and still give my credit, the credit to God, you know, and my higher power, and you guys, you know. I graciously give it to you guys because it definitely wasn't me, but I just kept knowing the desperation of heck I was in prior to coming to the program wasn't working. So I knew I had to stay there, and I kept doing staying until the answer happened because I was ready. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. Dion said, I'm going to do it. Thank you guys for being there when I got ready, and it wasn't too late. And with that, I'll pass, guys. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Dion R. Melanie C., you're up, followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Sherry K.B. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. I want to talk about sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. My story is always in hindsight, kind of going back over what has happened to me. And that's, I think, what they're saying here. You know, when all was considered with all of these folks that are various levels of accepting something that was outside of themselves to effectuate any kind of change and were in their current circumstances, they found that these things were true. That was what was in fact here. And so searching for myself, too, and what I had understood is it just had to be that just that teeny, teeny, teeny said place that said, I'm sick of me and there must be something else. And I just don't know how to get there. I just don't know how to get there. And if I believe just a snippet in you, then I might be able to come alongside you to watch what it is that you do and see if it doesn't work for me as well. And so the searching began. That was kind of that step two issue around came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I didn't have any knowledge about that, no true working experience around that to buy into it, to believe that it was going to be possible or that I even cared to anymore. I'd gotten so sick in this disease, I didn't even care to consider that there was something there because I really had believed that there wasn't. But through my experience, I have found that there was some sort of yearning down inside me. And when this kind of idea, little bit by little bit, was effectuated through me through action, it expanded that idea of this power, great, whatever was within me. And I went from agnosticism to atheism and then back again through all this. And I'll tell you, it feels somewhat that it's against my nature, honestly. And so I work at it every single day. It slips through my hands easily if it's left unattended. And what's not uncommon for me is that I need to recalibrate each morning. That's not true. Even several times during the day, I recalibrate to make sure that it stays there because it slips through. My hard wiring is against it, but I found that it fulfills it each and every time that I do everything that's disturbing me. It fulfills that peace in such a great way that it must be. It just must be counter to what I'm thinking, counter to what my twisted thinking is saying. There's a quote that I want to give you from a certain fella, and it says, intuition is starving for wisdom. Intuition is starving for wisdom. And the only way that I get wisdom is through experience, having an open mind and experiencing what somebody else has said and teaching me from this big book, taking them at their word for it, applying it to my life, then it's going to effectuate change in me for my personal relationship. And with that, I pass.
Melanie?
I passed, yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, Melanie C. Janice PM, you're up, followed by Kathleen O.
Well, good morning to you, Sherry. And my name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. All right, you know, faith. Oh, you know, it's a process. I hope I don't sound too much like a teacher, which I have been for 30-something years. But anyway, faith is not something that I'm going to come into OA and have the faith. I mean, I just, with me now, I'm talking about myself. I don't know about you. But it's a process, like making a sausage or anything else, or making a meal. It's a process. So I don't have these steps, but these are points. I'm not talking about the steps of the program. These are 6 points that the book has taught me in the past as a result of doing this work. And the first point of the formula is that I had to be willing to change. Now, how does that come about? Well, I had to do that before I came in the program. I mean, I tried every concept, every method on this earth to change, and it didn't work. So I came in here. So the first thing was I had to be willing to change, like Columbus. He used the same formula. And then he had to believe that he could do it. Well, there's paradox here. I couldn't believe that I could do it because I was powerless, right? But I had to come to believe that, well, gee, maybe I can't do it, and maybe something, someone can do it for me, because I always like somebody doing it for me. So I had to believe in another sense that I could do it if I could find another power, another method. So the third point, and that's when we're going to come to the decision, like Columbus did. He made a decision about it, fourth action was action. He had to make a decision to do the action like I had to do. I'm either going to do these steps, 4 through 11, or I'm not. Well, I never did the steps like I really should have. So I did these steps, and the truth of who I really was came through as I did this action. And that was the great reality, to find the truth about me. So that unblocked me. See, this is where we find the truth. Now, you know, even when I was a little girl, I used to listen to a little voice that used to say, you know, Janice, that's not the right thing to do. But I just ignored it. You know, it was there. It was still there. But I did what I thought I should do. And then, of course, I was dishonest. So the whole point here is we want to come through this process to get a result. What's the result that we want? To not be obsessed with the food problem. That's the result with the spiritual awakening. And thank you, I pass.
And thank you, Janice PM. And before we hear from Kathleen O, I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 55 in the third paragraph. And we finally saw that faith in some kind of God. And we're going to read that one paragraph. I mean, share on that one paragraph only. Kathleen O, please go ahead. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service this morning. Oh, great shares, you guys. We finally saw. I finally opened my eyes. You know, this paragraph is telling us that these recovered alcoholics found that having faith in some kind of God was part of their makeup, that this great reality, this power greater than us, if we search fearlessly, we will find it deep down within us. And I had plenty of reason and logic but reason and logic was not everything, nor was it dependable. But this power deep down inside us is dependable once we seek this power and begin to rely on that infinite power. I truly created my own pain and suffering. I had to have faith and believe that God was either everything or God was nothing. I had a choice, and frankly, I was tired of my self-inflicted pain and suffering. My problems were of my own making, and it was really an eye-opener to see that. And once I stopped fighting the idea of God, my life truly began to change. And remember, this chapter tells us when we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. And once I had my own conception of God, I was able to grow spiritually. And this spirituality creates change. We become more compassionate and I experience more calmness. And when I'm able to experience calmness, I can stay in the present rather than living in the past or future tripping. And I have to remind myself all the time that the future, if I future trip, it's full of fear and anxiety. And the past can be full of regret. So when I'm in the now, I can become more aware and I can let go of old habits and prejudices. And I can get out of my ego and that fog of denial and delusion. So I tell my sponsees a lot because I do it too. We addicts can complicate things. So keep it simple. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Act as if. Better to believe and find out there isn't a God than to not believe and find out there is. And the bottom line is this has worked for so many people on this line, and it can work for you too, and you will get so much freedom and joy and happiness. And that doesn't mean life is going to be perfect, because it's not. But it is a total life changer, a deal changer, to get on board with this higher power. And I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen O. All right, so we're going to take some more names. We're on page 55, paragraph 3. Who would like to share?
Mary H.
Bruce E.
Okay, I heard three people come in at once. I heard Bruce E.
Reggie
O. Somebody, is that Mary H?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then I heard something O.
That's Reggie O.
Reggie. Oh, okay, Reggie O. Gotcha.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Deanna D.
Liz S.
Deanna. Was that Deanna B? And something, was that Rose S?
Liz.
Liz. Liz S, as in Sam? Mm-hmm. All right. So I have my lineup here. Got Bruce E., Mary H., Reggie O., Julie E.B., Dana B., and Liz S. Bruce E., please go ahead. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. And Bruce E., I'm recovered in North Carolina. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Well, talking about pictures, you know, looking back on pictures from some years back, I was looking recently on pictures of me back at like 7, 8, 9, right around in there, and older. But I looked pretty good. You know, I looked okay. I was just starting to get hung up in the addiction. So I looked all right. But I didn't have a faith then. You know, I didn't have this faith in some kind of God. It might have been within me, but I just didn't think about it. You know, I mean, my mom took me to church a few times, but I just didn't get it. Or I was, you know, I was busy fishing. I had friends. I was doing stuff, and it didn't occur to me for a long time. I started noticing that I was lacking something. Maybe in teenage years on through, I knew I was missing something, but I didn't know what it was. And finally found a God of my own understanding, which was great. That changed my life. But still, and this is before I got in program, still I got hung up even more powerfully in the addiction. And that was, it wasn't helping me to get recovered. I needed the program to do that along with the God of my understanding. And it says here, just as much as a feeling we have for a friend. And now I think I look at, you know, the God of my understanding as my friend. You know, he's my best friend. I'm trying to make him my best friend. excuse me. I'm working on that. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was not there. And I have had experiences over the years where I just didn't think God was there. Excuse me. So I go through those periods where it just doesn't seem like higher power is there. But then I keep working the program. I keep praying, and I keep reading literature, keep going to the meetings. I don't give up. I keep on. And then, you know, it comes back. Thank you, Sherry, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce. Mary H., you're up, followed by Reggie O. Mary, good morning.
Hey, this is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin. So glad to be here today. So the part of this that always really hits me is that it doesn't say that higher power is out there somewhere or that higher power is found in this book. And it doesn't say, of course, it doesn't say that higher power is found in our sponsor because that didn't exist, you know, at the time the book was written. It says that it's deep down within me. Higher power is deep down within me, the same way that the feeling that I have for a friend is deep down within me. The feeling I have for a friend is something that just comes out of me, right? The compassion that I might feel, or empathy, or joy that I feel spending time with them or enjoying. Those are all things that just come out of me naturally. And that this higher power that can restore me to sanity is inside me and can just come up out of me naturally. But I have to be willing to believe that. And I have to be willing to be open to that. And I feel like a lot of times as a sponsor, there's always moments, and I know I've had these times too, but what's coming to mind now is my experience as a sponsor, where a newcomer or a sponsee is asking me, like, what should I do? What should I do? You know? And given that the way that I was brought through the steps was just to follow the specific, you know, instructions in the big book, nothing more, nothing less, which was so good for me because I can try to do more at everything. I want to make sure to do it right. I want to make sure to be the most thorough. I got to make sure that my effort is thorough, you know, because that's how I coped with, you know, sort of the pain of my upbringing. And I have a little visitor. Hopefully he'll stay quiet or else I'll have to take off. But, you know, the answer to that question, what should I do? What should I do? How do I know that it's deep down within us? It's deep down within us. And that, of course, is different than my will. Very different than my will. That's not deep down within me. That's right here. That's right at the surface. I know what my will wants. It wants to be comfortable. It wants a quick answer. Thank you so much. So I will pass with that. I'm so glad to be here and grateful for this program today.
And thank you, Mary H. Reggie O., you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning, Sherry, and thank you again for your service. This is Reggie O., very gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, I feel like, boy, this chapter, this time through the big book, as many times as I have done the steps, is totally rearranging me so that I sometimes don't even know if I can say a complete sentence in this sharing. So you probably get that in where I am today. But, you know, it's like that the paragraph yesterday, deep down inside every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. You know, I remember from the time I was a young child, I had a God, but that God was a very punishing God. So at some point, I did everything I could do to keep myself away from that God that was a punishing God. At a very early age, when I was probably around 12 or 13, I became the higher power in my family after a family tragedy, and I became the caretaker and everything. So I had this, you know, sense of this duty that I had to be this power. At the same time, I was like this young kid with, like, you know, like no real power. And just, you know, fast forward to, I'm going to fast forward quite a bit with a lot of experience. When I first read this paragraph, that we found the great reality deep down within us, it is only there in the last analysis that God may be found. I just loved it. It was the most powerful statement that I had ever heard, but I yet was not connected to my heart. And so it was an intellectual proposition for me, which so many things have been in my life intellectually. You know, I can get them and I can explain them and I can be intellectually passionate, but don't take me into my heart because it's too tender and it's too painful there. Well, that's exactly where I believe this great reality is inside me. And I was thinking, you know, okay, so the great reality is deep down within me. If I don't have that experience and that knowing, I'll never feel whole. How can I feel whole when the most powerful, you know, the most powerful, wonderful aspect of who I am is generated from within me? And that just came to me as I was reading this morning before. So that's one thing. The other part of it is that I have felt alone a lot in my life, or felt lonely, no matter how many people I was around or where I was. There was always this feeling of aloneness. So today I'm thinking, and it's coming, you know, well, if I all the time that I've been unwilling to, like, go within or been afraid to go within and find this great reality and open my heart, of course I'll feel alone, you know. This is the center of everything. So it seemed like such a short time. I hope I made some sense, and I'm going to pass, and thank you all for being here.
And thank you, Reggie O. Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Deanna B. Julie E.B., good morning.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. And, you know, we finally saw faith in some kind of God, part of my makeup. And, you know, for me, uncovering that, discovering that was really rough. I really came to a point that I didn't even know that there was a self. I had to search fearlessly. He was as much a fact as we were. I wasn't even a fact. I was just defined by the roles I was playing, whether it was mother or wife or worker or pleaser of all. Or I had been playing a role for so long. You know, bottom page 25 says we're blotting out our consciousness, our awakeness to intolerable situation. My intolerable situation was that way I experienced life with all my nerves on the outside. And I had eaten myself. The great reality, the great fact for me was that I had eaten myself, you know, to 300 pounds, that I was bed bound, that I had 6 medical specialists, that I'm going to turn 50 this week, and I could have died at 42 years old. And the great reality deep down within us, needed so much fearless searching, and I had this beautiful sponsor in another program that would just let me search fearlessly. And I just want to, you know, recognize her today. She celebrates 30 years in OA recovery, 30 years abstinence today, alive because of this program, not having committed suicide because of this program, and 10 years in the other program where I met her, where she watched me go up and down. She invited me to her 25th. Receiving, and it never even occurred to me, gaining and losing over 1,000 pounds in my lifetime, that there would be something there for me. But it was a couple years later that I said, what I was meeting with her on something. I said, what is this abstinence thing? I had watched her eat abstinently for years. I had watched her listen to me. And so for me, the great reality deep down took a lot of searching and a lot of love from her and from other fellows that I met in that meeting who loved me, from the person from Vision who walked into that meeting, who no one knows their name, but who sponsored me faithfully through this big book, line by line, until I have this great reality now, this safe place from the inside out, this safe place where it's just my higher power and myself, and we're okay. So I no longer look to my life, dependency on other people, places, things, food, a million other circumstances to just know that I'm okay. And so as I'm true to myself, I am true to my higher power. And thanks to my higher power, I have a self, and that self's purpose is to serve selflessly. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie B. Okay, so Deanna B. and Liz S., we have about 3 minutes. So if you take a minute and a half each, we'll get you both in. Deanna B., go ahead, please. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's Deanna D. In New York City. I'll try to be mindful of the time. I'm trying to pull up a little clock, but I'm just grateful to be on the line. I'm missing my in-person big book meeting today in OA. I'm feeling sick and stayed home. So it's really good to just get connected, especially to this passage. I'm working through the steps a third time with a new sponsor, and she's had me go through and sort of just highlight things I connect to, but also in this particular chapter, just circle all the uses or different uses or different words for God. So it's really nice to read back through this and look at things that I've underlined and hear other people's experiences with connecting to a higher power. And it feels very different for me today. I've been in this program for about 5 years, and it just keeps deepening. And I feel like I'm at a place where I need more connection with a higher power. I'm not sure how that's going to keep evolving, but like I heard on the meeting, I'm just going to keep coming back and keep doing what I've done with the tools and hearing other people's experience. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you all for sharing.
Thank you, Deanna B. Liz S., you're up. Good morning. 1 minute, please. Liz S., star one to unmute. Are you there, Liz?
Hi, it's Liz S. in New Hampshire. This paragraph has never really struck me quite as it did today, and I will be as quick as I can. I think what really hit me was that the idea of God within me, every change that I make for the better, every change that I make that is positive, every defect that is lifted, every time that I live a more spiritual life, that I do good, that I am a better person, that I am a new person, that I am looking for God, tells me that He is indeed within me. And I hadn't really understood that until we read that today, when I can meet calamity with serenity. I was very glad to hear the person who talked about emotions are an expression of God. That meant a great deal to me. And I never really searched for him. I searched to believe. And today I believe. And lastly, he is my sixth sense when I pause to listen. Thank you.
And thank you, Liz. Okay, so that's all the time we have to share this morning. What a great meeting. Thanks, everybody. Just want to thank our Team Thursday, Cindy K., Kathleen O., Leslie W., Dion R., Kathleen O. again, Mary H., and Reggie O. And with that, we're going to have Dion R. now read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you till then. Dion?
Yes. Hi, Siri. How are you doing? I'm here. And our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in this fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.